Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Android App Addicts podcast, episode number 482. Tonight is the dynamic duo of Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin, and myself, the manager, Dini Media, Silicon Wrench, Eric Ardini. Door, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing decent. This seems to be a hectic week. Thank you, Danny. I love you, even though there's something in your mouth. Go to bed. I love you. You freaking out. Quick update from last school year. Last school year, he was utterly bad, sometimes almost seemingly belligerently bad on purpose. We're about 3 weeks into school, not a single bad day. The only phone call we got from school was Danny forgot his backpack, and we basically had to ask my father-in-law to take it to him. Whenever I try to assume how that kid's going to behave, I'm always dead wrong, and this year he's doing great. So for that alone, I'm doing good. How about how was your camping trip last weekend?
You know, we went camping. I didn't do much camping, though. You know, I had to work. My daughter and wife took off with the camper, I think, during the show, wasn't it, last week? And they made it just fine, got down there. They pulled into the camp spot, and they had no place to go. They couldn't find anybody that worked there, so they went ahead and just camped and slept in the parking lot, which was pretty freaky. I don't think either of them really slept too well that night. They got up in the morning, did find a spot, got it all unhooked and set up and ready to go, and worked out okay. They stayed there the whole day, went swimming and stuff at the campground. I showed up down there the next day and then basically went pawn shop hunting for a new metal detector. Went to three pawn shops. None of them had any. And by that time, it was time to go back to the camper, change clothes, and then go over to a band competition at the high school. We camped near the high school that the competition was going to be at. So then we just brought our son back to the camper with us after the competition was over. Which my son's a drummer, and they got first place in percussion, so that was pretty cool. And
then, very cool, very cool.
Then I got back and drove back home, and my brakes, as soon as I got into my town, my brakes went out on the truck, but luckily I had the trailer brakes on the camper to keep me from running right through my house or garage or other people's cars and such, because the brakes totally failed.
Yeah, that's not good. I despise brakes just because of how much they cost, but it is one of those niceties to have when you need them.
Yeah, I've got a rusty old truck and leaky lines, but now I've got brand new shiny lines going from the front of the truck all the way to the back and back to the both of the rear wheels, so we're good until the front brake line breaks for now.
Gotcha. Do you have any Android news updates of your own this week?
I've wanted to talk to you about the new stuff from Amazon. Did you see their announcements today?
Honestly, I heard a little bit about them, but none of them sounded like groundbreakingly different. Just a couple new things that were the same, just different.
Yeah, so they got a new Echo. Which I'm not sure what's new about that Echo. It's $100. I think it's about the same as the old one, but it's got a fabric on it.
Oh, this dumb fabric. It's just stainable. You got to wash it. Hard to get dust off of it. I honestly despise the idea of fabric on my electronic devices.
And so it says if you place three of these in your cart right now, you can get $50 off. So if you spend $300, you can drop it down to $250. So they've got that, the new Echo. Then they came out with the Echo Plus, which is a bigger, more powerful type Echo. And then it also comes with a Philips Hue bulb included and does some smart home stuff with that.
Okay.
The Echo Spot is probably the coolest looking of the new things. It's like a little, it almost reminds me of the Google Q that they had. It's like a little round ball with a flat side that sits on top of something. But this one has a screen on it, and you can do video calls through it. You don't have to buy the $250 Echo View or whatever that was. Kind of looks like a little timer in a way.
Well, yeah, on another podcast, I believe it was This Week in Google, they said it's like the Chumby for 2017. It's supposed to be like a alarm clock-ish type device, but with a camera and microphone on it. So it's intended to be in your bedroom, except you have to be okay with the mic and a camera. And some people, I'm sure, love the idea. But, no.
Hack me, please. I'm into that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see if I worked in a more isolated work office environment, I could see having it on my desk and having it probably be really useful, maybe. but not at home in the bedroom. And I can't see a clock like this or a display of this small size being useful really any place else.
Then they came out with a 4K Fire TV.
Yes, I did hear about that. And while I will probably get a 4K TV around like 2035,
right. I'm in the same boat. I'll take my 40-inch $300 1080p for now. Okay.
Yeah, and because of that, people would think I don't care about this. I think this is awesome news. I really want the Fire Stick and the Fire devices to be much more competitive with other light boxes like Roku, for instance, and anything they can do to get more competitive, I'm all for, because it means better stuff for everybody else.
And I was in an electronics shop the other day, and I was watching 4K get streamed over Netflix, and it was being compared with Comcast's feed next to it, and it was much nicer than anything you're going to see even on cable now. So the streaming has now surpassed your cable as far as quality, which I thought may have taken a little longer than this to get there.
Now, cable, satellite, DirecTV, all of that, they cannot stream good quality. It's in the throughput. It's in the bandwidth. It's in how much data they can shove down the pipe. And you got to remember, if you have 200 channels, all 200 channels are coming down that pipe at the exact same time. So at the most, you're going to get 1/200th of the bandwidth for that. So cable and satellite quality of picture is amongst the worst you could ever get. Now you can do on-demand video and supposedly get much better than normal cable. And streaming Netflix 4K and streaming YouTube 4K is supposedly good, but I still don't know what it's going to take for anything to beat over-the-air quality, because the throughput on that is insane. The bandwidth you can do on over-the-air is insane. But here's the thing. So many people in this country are already starting to hit their ISP's data caps. When you get a 4K, you're going to literally hit that cap 8 to 20 times faster. So technically, 8 to 20 times more people are going to be affected by bandwidth caps because of 4K. So, you know, there's the rock and a hard place, the two opposing forces that are going to hit and collide. So that's not going to be good.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I live in a town where we're being progressive and ditching Comcast and starting our own gigabit fiber to the home network, because that is going to be needed sooner than I even thought.
Well, and what kind of caps are they going to put on you?
No caps.
At all?
Not that I know of.
Well, let me tell you, if there is no caps, you are in the extreme minority in the U.S. Now, a lot of people have big caps.
Well, maybe.
So it's going to be hard to hit.
I don't know. I don't know that we've had that discussion yet. As you know, I would be involved in that discussion. I could probably ask at our next meeting to find out.
Well, yeah, but I know you're better than me. You would say it much more eloquently. Like, have you looked into the, you know, are you going to be entertaining the idea of limiting someone's per month maximum capacity of download, or, you know, something?
Well, I did drop the hint of there's only one feature that Comcast has that I like, that I would like to see moved over to whatever I go to, which since we've got Comcast or nothing, right now is nothing, but soon will be Rock Falls FiberNet. So the one thing that they do have, and I didn't know if we could build this into our routers that we put in people's houses, is, and I don't know the security of it, but if I go to any, you know, corner and somebody's got an Xfinity router in their house, which I don't have, but if they do, I can log in with my account into their router.
Right. Well, it's technically now a like 6-year-old technology where on the same antennas, you can actually broadcast multiple SSIDs and actually have them segregated into isolated networks. It's definitely possible. The question is going to be, is this something they're going to have to home bake, or, you know what I mean, do themselves, or is there pre-configured hardware they can just buy in bulk, tell the vendor, stamp it with this SSID and this, because if it comes from somebody else, hopefully that means they're more experienced at this, and hopefully that means there's less security issues with it, where if a smaller company has to look into this themselves, there's a greater chance of being slower to fix security issues.
Well, at least I've got it in their ear of when they're going out and procuring this equipment, that may be a feature that they would look at.
Well, one piece of advice. If they say they can do it, ask them to make sure they advertise the fact that it will not and cannot affect your bandwidth.
Yeah, right. The other Alexa gadget that they've got coming is, I guess it's Alexa gadgets, Echo Buttons.
Oh, how is this different than the Amazon Dash buttons?
Oh, because these don't order products. These are basically buzzers for when you're playing like Jeopardy with your friends.
Oh.
That's all they do is...
How millennial community-like of
them. It's a joystick for a different kind of gaming console. You know, it's an input device for an Echo Dot.
If you want to play like the Family Feud Showdown or...
Yeah. Well, on the Alexa, Jeopardy's built into the Alexa already. They've already bought the rights to that game. So this will just take it from you versus the Alexa to you and, you know, three of your friends actually playing with Alex Trebek.
This house, hell no. Hell no, hell no, hell no. My wife already reminds me how much more intelligent than me she is. We are not, no way.
Oh, yeah, you've got relatives who've been on Jeopardy, huh?
I'll give it to them, and they might love it. Not me. Not this house. Not going to happen. Mm-mm. Nope. Next.
I think that's all I remember. Oh, they did come out with a 10-inch tablet. A new 10-inch tablet. They had one a while back. And I'm kind of glad, you know, that they came out with a new 10-inch tablet. Because I'm always worried that tablets are going away.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraged to see that there's still one to buy. I did buy the new 8 for my mom for their anniversary. But the all-new HD 10 is $150. I think it's still a pre-order right now. Yeah, it'll be released on October 11th. So, yeah, it's still a pre-order. And 256, 32, or 64 gigs of... Oh, no, I'm sorry. 32 or 64 internal. And then you can put a micro SD card in. I don't know how many... Yeah, 2 gigs of RAM. So that's decent. That's not bad for $150.
Well, for $150, it ain't bad just because of the screen. If anything I've learned over these years, screen is probably the most expensive things on any of these devices. And honestly, Amazon is very good at customizing their Android, not customizing, correction, optimizing their Android. So I can believe 2 gigs should be enough for them to do what they need to do.
And to get the most loaded one without the special offers, which I've had one before with the special offers. They're not really intrusive. Is it worth the $15 to get rid of them? I don't know. I don't know. Uh-uh. It's basically
if I'm hurting for money, maybe.
A splash screen. You know what I mean? It's all it is. You're swiping one more time to turn it on. So for $64 for 64 gigs is $189.99. And without special offers, bumps up to $204.99. So I don't know. I think the extra 32 to 64 would be worth $30 probably.
I think for a lot of people it would. I'm sure there's people out there that wouldn't care, but I would opt for it.
Big tablet, big battery, 10 hours, they're saying. I'm waiting. I'm waiting till Google lets me know what they're doing. I'm hoping they will be doing a tablet with their Pixel phones, but I'm not holding my breath because, man, I'm still nursing a Nexus 7, and I want a new one of those.
They're not doing
it. If they don't, I'm going to get this one then.
I have no problem betting lunch on for a week that there's not a tablet coming this October 4th, but everyone is saying they are coming out with the $1,000 plus Chromebook Chrome laptop, new Pixel laptop kind of device. Because it looks like they're saying, why just get a tablet when we can attach a keyboard to it as well? You know, and it's going to do Android stuff. It's going to do Chrome stuff. So I'm pretty sure that's what they're focusing on.
Yeah, no, and Chromebooks are fine. I'm really starting to warm up to them.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the best bang for the buck and longevity and stability. You don't have to worry about Windows infections on it. That alone, to some people, is worth a lot of money. We're still only hearing rumors about what's going to happen on the 4th, but there's still nothing I'm hearing that's really wowing me.
Yeah, I'm thinking a used first-gen Pixel's looking better and better for me every day.
Well, I will say right now, I do believe yesterday I heard that they are offering rebates if you use a 5X as well as a trade-in. It might have been only for new 5 members. I'm not positive.
It was what, a rebate? you said?
Yeah.
I went through the process, and they were going to give me like $100 or $80. Or it wasn't much.
I was going to say, if it's more than 80, I'd be
not enough to keep, not enough to get rid of it. I can pass it on to my son for that much.
Gotcha.
Okay. Hey, let me bring an app real quick since we're still talking about things that happened and stuff like that. But somebody's in our chat room named Ardini's Army. I'm not sure who that might be. It's not me, but
I'm pretty sure I know.
But since we were talking about metal detecting, and I was going, you know, pawn shop to pawn shop today, and I don't know how many more days it's free for. I did pick this app up actually earlier. I know who it is now. So it's the app called Metal Detector Pro, and it is a metal detector for your phone. So you know what? Here's how dumb I am. I went to my local pawn shop in my own town, and they had two metal detectors there. And then I went to the shop that used to be my competitor across the street from my old computer shop, and he had one I ended up buying from him. So there was three within a half a mile of my house, but then when I drive, you know, almost to Iowa, I can't find it. So that's how that works. So this is called Metal Detector Pro Gamma Play Tools. I have it installed. I have not tried it out yet. Like I said, it's free today. I just installed it, and I haven't been able to test it. It uses the magnetometer, I guess, in your phone, and I think it'd probably be good for finding studs in a wall, you know, if you've got a nail in them, stuff like that.
Right. Well, yeah, I could see this being useful as an actual classic metal detector, but you would have to have it like on the end of a long selfie stick. I can't believe I just said that.
Oh, there you go.
But then you would need like a remote monitor so you could watch the screen up closer to your face.
Well, hopefully it's got a sound.
Yes. You know. Good point. Good.
And then you have Bluetooth headphones in, so then you know nobody else knows what you're catching on to. You know.
You can hide your gold stash.
So thank you, Ardini's Army, in the chat room for this app, Metal Detector Pro.
Very cool.
It's usually $4.99, I think, so a heck of a deal. Dor, do you have any hardware?
Not really any updates. I do believe last week I at least off the cuff mentioned my brand new, and it's still actually really brand new to the greater community at large, my ROCK 64 Raspberry Pi sized computer with 4 gigs of RAM on board. I did load Android on it, but what I just realized is there is an Android TV version, and I've never given Android TV OS a fair chance. So I'm going to load Android TV on it and see if I can swap it out with the family's Odroid C2 mini computer that I've been using for my home theater computer needs for well over a year. I've had it booted sometimes 5-6 months without rebooting it, and it's always done what the family's needed to. The only time they've had issues is when my young son has his Amazon tablet and he's watching YouTube on it. That's the only time they've ever experienced issues. So apparently YouTube on Amazon Kindle Fires suck bandwidth.
Oh, it slowed down the box, your little computer?
Oh, it messed. They knew every time he was watching it, because after a minute or two, their movie would buffer and they were getting kind of upset.
So it must be the YouTube app in the Amazon store is different than the regular.
Yeah, because, I mean, I could sit there and watch YouTube all the whole time that they were watching, and they would never have a problem.
So you're going to try to put Android TV on that?
I'm going to try to put Android TV on it, put Netflix on it, put Plex on it, and put a version of Kodi on it, and replace it and see if they get really mad or they like it more.
And do you have a remote that you have in mind to use with it?
I have two different modes. I have one that has, and the interface looks very well adapted to up, down, left, right arrow buttons, and like a OK button. We do have a Logitech K400 keyboard that they've used for a while. Yeah. So I might try to put both of them out there and see what they like.
See, just more news that just came out today was the Android Assistant. The Google Assistant's coming to Android TV. Right now it's only on the NVIDIA streaming thing.
Yeah, the Shield.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe you get that update too.
I know on like Roku and Amazon devices, people do like to use their voice to search. I will say that.
So then you would need either a USB microphone plugged into that, or some kind of a remote with a microphone.
Yeah, if you just look on Amazon for Android remote control voice, you'll see at least 20 or 30 people branding the exact same remote with a voice button on it. So There are remotes out there. I don't know if they're any good or not. They're not really expensive. They're like between 18 and 28 bucks. So they might be horrible, or they might just be okay and, you know, good price.
So now that mini PC you have there, you said that had an IR on it, but yes. You would probably be using Bluetooth or some other connection for that, all that anyway, right?
Well, the K400 has a dedicated dongle that you hook up to it, which I believe is actually RF. When we use Kodi, sometimes they use their phones because it has the Kodi remote app on their phone. And with the other remote, I do believe it has a dedicated Bluetooth dongle as well.
Okay. So the IR's not in the picture.
We would have to program it because we don't have one that does it. Well, the only ones we have that do IR is a dedicated Verizon Fios remote.
So, since we're talking about other things we talked about last week, I would like to see what your high score is on cool.
Oh, I suck.
What is this called? Cool Colotwino. Colotwino. This was where I had challenged Dor in this very addictive game that he brought. I don't know where Mark's at tonight. It's probably why he didn't show up for the show. Is because he was pretty embarrassed about his high score.
No, Mark said he wasn't going to install it under any circumstances.
Right. He was weak. And I forgot.
And I'm going to say, I'm pretty sure you crushed me, Eric. I'm just going to say it right now before we show any numbers.
Okay. I can read doors. His says 2730.
Yeah, and your number is 4190. I told you crushed me. Well, I did learn a little bit after playing. One of the things you should do is don't put one match right next to another color. Like what I was learning was doing when I was getting better was when I had a pink one down, only one pink one, and then another pink one would come out. Don't set it right next to it. Set it two or three away.
Set yourself up to give you down the road a little bit.
Right. What I did not get good at was looking down at the bottom because you could see the next four or five pieces.
Yeah,
and planning.
That's definitely a strategy, is to keep your eye down there, what's coming up. Because if there's no, there's at some point, sometimes there'll be like no reds or no blues for the next seven pieces. So you might as well just bury those, you know, and get back to them later.
Right, and that's where I was uncommonly failing. I just could not. I mean, yeah, brick wall, just brick wall.
So I
honestly thought I uninstalled it.
Did you?
I honestly thought I did because I was getting so upset at it.
So Nebula Bites, thank you for Colotwino. I can't find it as addictive as BB Tan. I still broke out the BB Tan 7 years a couple times while I was trying to dominate your game. But it's a good game. There's just something, man. I don't know. I've never had a game suck me in like that other one. But Colotwino's a good game. Good, fun game.
Very good. Okay, the only app I want to bring up again, so if we're going to bring up apps from last week, is I have been running my Skimmer Scanner app. Skimmer Scanner is an app by SparkX, I believe, that will help you. It allegedly will help you identify when credit card skimming devices are present. If you want to know the reasons why, you got to listen to last week's show. I did pull it out. I did forget for days that it was on my phone. And then maybe Monday or Tuesday, I forced myself when I was going into stores to pull it out and hit the button. And nowhere I went did it say a skimmer was discovered. Now that could be a false negative. There could have been 30 skimmers present. None of them just used the right technology that this is looking for. But I cannot prove yet a false positive. Because a false positive would be it would say there's one and I can't find one. This is a test of one. This is just my personal experience. So far, it's worked perfectly.
Okay.
I think. Maybe.
So far, you're in an area where people aren't skimming too much that you can tell.
That my app is telling me. For all I know, there's everywhere I go is a skimmer. But this app isn't not finding any of them. I don't know. When I actually find one, if I find one, I'm going to feel like this app did it.
Yeah.
I found one. It's perfect. It's great. But it literally might be, it only might find one out of 50. I need, without sounding dumb people, I need people smarter than me to look into this. People like Steve Gibson, people like Paul.com, people who actually know, Hack5 would be great for this. Is this real? Is this usable? Is this useful? Even if it only works one out of three skimmers, I still think it's worth protecting yourself.
Yeah, I'm just going to plead ignorance and let the bank take care of me after I get skimmed because it was their fault.
Well, they always find it cheaper to pay the insurance premiums rather than fixing the actual problem.
So
all thoughts and opinions are of Door to Door Geek and not of podnuts.com.
we do have one email, and this was actually from a developer who was listening to the last show or got word that we had.
Well,
he does a search of any time his company comes up on.
Well, go ahead and read the email. Go ahead and read the email.
It's from Eric Kivistik, and he is from the he's the CTO, which would be the Chief Technical Officer of 3D Creationist. And he says, "Hi, listened to your podcast today and was positively surprised to hear you talk about 3DC.io. I am the lead developer of the software and wanted to let you know that if you have any questions or want to follow up, I would be happy to chat. If not, I would still like to thank you for including our software in your podcast. It's always nice when someone notices your work. You can reach me at," and he gave us two email addresses. I think this is pretty real. I think he did at least get a heads up from somebody and say,
No. Come on, dude. No. That's exactly what happened. He has some company that he's paying to do SEO. They have Google alerts in play that when it has their thing and the word podcast involved to automatically scrape the page, which the email's right on the page, scrape the page, craft an email and send it. Because they don't mention Podnuts. They don't mention Android App Addicts. They don't say hi, Mark and Eric or Door. There's nothing personal about this email whatsoever.
True.
And if I'm wrong, Eric, prove it to me by listening to this and email me because you have a very good product, but I really don't like form.
And when he says Eric, he's talking about you, the one with two E's in your name, not me.
Yeah.
You want to put a link to his app in our podcast one more time to see if we get the exact email back next week? Or do you think they're smarter than that?
Well, if it's a reputable SEO company, then we're not going to get the same one. Okay. They're literally, we're going to get nothing. They're going to completely ignore it. Because, I mean, realistically, if he's a guy of the stature that he says he is by his sign-off, how much time does he have to sit back and listen to podcasts?
Well, he's building things on a 3D printer all day. You saw his app. Eric, prove us right or wrong. You've got 1 week to respond to our podcast. And I hope you really do listen to it. And we are probably really going to use your app to build some stuff, so... Let's collab.
Well, I did give it to my son, showed it to him, and he did think it was awesome, Eric.
See?
So, congratulations. You made a good product that at least completely won over one person. Because I did show him a couple other phone apps where he could design stuff, and it was definitely not easy, simple to use. This, I think, was the perfect combination of ease of use, yet ability to do things. So, congratulations.
If I had a 3D printer, I would probably have tried it too, but I don't. Not yet, anyway. Some point. All right. Door, why don't you start us out with an app, as you may be an addict of that.
Okay, give me 1 second here. The first app I'm going to bring, Eric, I am not, there is no could be, should be, can be, whatever. This app I am bringing for you. It's called Drop Mix. There is no video in the Play Store.
It's a good quality.
It's by Hasbro.
Ooh.
Inc. Which
that's another sign of quality, though. Didn't they make like Monopoly?
Well, they at least stole it or bought it. It's questionable.
Might have been Mattel. I'm sorry.
No. Hasbro. Okay. Hasbro. Yeah. Long story short, there is a huge controversy who actually created Monopoly. It's pretty much accepted that the company that is producing it now, Hasbro, stole it, period. That's, you know, because the idea became a little bit genericized and, you know, Kleenex kind of thing. So that's what happened. And it was originally a game to show you how bad bankers and capitalists were. And when they got the game, they tweaked it a little bit to take off some of the evilness and make it more general fun.
Okay, have you seen the Monopoly documentary yet?
Cannot say I did.
It's Under the Boardwalk, the Monopoly story. And I think it's either on Amazon or Netflix right now for free. I mean, if you're Prime, Amazon. But they go into like the story of it, and they also talk about Monopoly championships.
Oh, yeah. It's serious business. And nobody plays it right, it turns out. 98% of the people that buy the game play it wrong because the game is never supposed to take more than a half an hour, period.
Okay. Back,
ever.
Look, I started scrolling down and reading this app, so let's stop talking.
Okay. Drop Mix, Hasbro, Music, E for Everyone, zero in-app purchases, free to download, no in-app ads. 16 reviews, 4.7 average reviews, updated September 26, 2017, between 100 and 500 installs, version 1.3.2.
Installed. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the DropMix app requires the DropMix Music gaming system. Oh,
uninstalled.
I'm not even sure what that
is. I don't
know
either, but...
To play DropMix Music, sold separately. Learn more at dropmix.hasbro.com. So maybe this is like doing the buttons, like gamification kind of thing. So if we go to the actual website, it looks like a card-based game where you have hands of cards each person. You put the cards down, thus causing different types of music to be created.
I'll put that link in the chat too.
So now I'm going 360. First I said yes, then I said I don't think so. Now I'm thinking more than ever this is an Eric app.
This looks like a lot of fun. It's a card game where you're just dropping cards onto some sort of surface that reads the cards, and then you're Bluetoothing it looks like to an Amazon Echo on this thing, or any kind of a Bluetooth speaker, and like everybody is making music.
That's a phone.
There's a phone at the end, but in one of the parts of the videos, there's a Bluetooth speaker sitting next to the thing.
Oh, you're right. Good eye. So yeah, the other device, your phone, your tablet, or speaker, becomes the other part of the board game system, which I'm guessing was part of their goal to keep prices down, is what I'm
guessing. You're not going to want to listen to this on your phone speaker.
Probably not.
Well, it comes with some very good music for right now. I mean, I don't know, maybe you can, in a year these will all suck, but Bruno Mars, the Chainsmokers, Closer. That's like
Bruno Mars, the number two thing, the number two entertainer you can search on a Windows device through a search engine and get an infection.
Okay, I don't like Bruno Mars, but Skrillex. But Skrillex is on here. Flo Rida, Ed Sheeran, Childish Gambino. Oh. You gotta like the Chainsmokers, right?
Not even their classic stuff.
Like,
No. Anybody calling themselves the Chainsmokers? No.
Oh, you,
that's like calling yourself the Ku Klux Klan and expecting people to not equate it with something bad.
Well, you gotta listen to the song "Selfie." It's not a new one. It's Closer is a lot newer. You hear on the radio, but "Selfie" is a great song.
Okay. It looks like the basic board itself. Wow, $99.
Oh, is it really? Dang.
$99, but then you can buy packs for $14, extra expanded music.
So yeah, you're just buying songs. So this is, it's a great way for this is the evolution that music needed.
Well, yeah, but that's just too expensive. $99 is too expensive.
Yeah, if it comes with the phone that you've got sitting at the end of it, then maybe. But I don't know, there's got to be some technology reading them cards too.
Oh, I'm sure there is, but at the same token,
so
it's too damn expensive.
So it's a Bluetooth card reader that goes into your phone's going to have to do Bluetooth on two devices at the same time if you're going to want to pump this out, unless you use a speaker jack, which are becoming less and less popular.
Yeah, I don't think it's a speaker jack. I think you're Bluetoothing it in somehow.
So you're Bluetoothing the cards into your phone, but then the sound has to go out.
Well, and I'm sure all of the songs are basically being downloaded, so it's not like the songs are on any of the media.
No. Cards don't actually have it. Yeah, right.
Which, if you're a hacker out there, hack dropmix.hasbro.com and replace every song with Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Or just hack the card.
They'll hire you.
Yeah. Or hack the way the cards are read into that thing. You're spending $100 and you can put any song you want.
Yeah. Yeah, because $100 is too much. So I'm now double reversing. I'm 720. I'm Tony Hawking. My choice of this app is now no longer
a. I'm a little disturbed in the supported devices though. Samsung Galaxy S6, Note 5, HTC One M9, LG G4, Droid Turbo 2,
ooh,
Huawei Google Nexus 6P, and the Nexus 9. So the 5X is not included, and all of these phones are 2 years old. So I'm thinking you're going to be able to go to GameStop or Toys R Us and get this drop mix thing pretty cheap because none of these phones are new. So that means it's been sitting on the shelves for 2 years not selling. So maybe you can get it for a lot less than $100.
Well, and if you go to Toys R Us, you better hurry up because they're going bankrupt too. So, yeah, they just filed for bankruptcy less than 2 weeks ago. So,
KB is KB. They're gone too, right? Is there any toy store? Gone. Is there? I don't even think that.
Adult toy stores.
Amazon. Yeah, good app. Kind of.
I tried. Damn it.
If you were throwing it to me, I would have. I already installed it before I even got too far into it. So you mission accomplished, right?
I guess.
All right. I'm gonna bring an app. This is not for you. Saying that ahead of time. This is a great app called X Out of 10. It's by Ido Ideas. It's a personalization app. It does offer in-app purchases. This is for all you people who didn't buy or didn't pre-order your Apple, what is that, iPhone X? And you're really thinking your phone is missing something because you don't have a black notch in the center of your screen at the top. So, see, Dor, you can easily install this on your phone, and I've got it here to show you, Dor. If you look at your screen, I want you to see this.
No.
Come on, look over here. So anyway, I've got a great notch installed at the top of my Samsung phone.
I'm trying to make the show notes, Eric.
All right. Well, so yeah, this is basically what it does is it takes your old Android phone and turns it into an iPhone X by adding a blacked out spot in the middle
by
at the top,
removing part of a useful screen.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it does. I told you it wasn't for you, but it's for someone.
Okay, first off, I'm going to be the Apple fanboy and say wrong. First off, it's not X out of 10. It's the Apple iPhone 10. The X is a 10. Don't you know? Aren't you? You undereducated you. I mean, what'd you go to public school or
did
something?
Did they say the iPhone 10?
Here at Apple U, we know it's the iPhone 10.
Oh.
So the actual app name phonetically should be 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Just to get that part of pompous 10 out of 10. I have 10 out of 10 installed on my phone.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
I swear, if I see this installed on anybody's phone, I will smack their phone out of their
hand. Like the second screenshot?
I don't know. I'm still documenting it because somebody has to.
The second screenshot, I believe, is on your device. Sure.
Oh, it's the Never Settle. That was my desktop on my phone that I haven't had now for.
Wasn't that the one? The
10
the,
months.
One
plus
yeah,
one.
Plus
but,
one.
Yeah, but I haven't used that phone for
what
10
do you
months.
No.
I'm using the Huawei Honor 8, the phone I've had since last Black Friday.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'm dead serious. And anybody, if you have this app, look around. Because if you see a Podnuts hat, your phone might get smacked out of your hand.
Supama Devu says in the reviews, says, I showed to my niece, Apple fan hardcore. She keeps telling, your screen look broken. My nephew and me started laughing like crazy. This thing is awesome. Just wait. I put a different cover on. I'm going to make fun of a few of my Apple fanboys friends, too. All right. Well, so there's no iPhone 9. They just skipped it, huh?
Yeah, just like there's no Windows 9. I don't know why, but everyone apparently is paranoid of the number 9.
The Beatles got into your head, hearing it over and over again. Number 9?
I don't know.
Although the app wasn't working, the customer support you guys have was awesome. 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dor, what you got?
I don't know. I'm too depressed now.
Oh, no.
The app I'm going to bring is in honor of the Internet in a Box project that a good friend of mine is involved with, and I will to let people know, after you support people in Houston and people in Texas and possibly even people or organizations in Oregon for all their fires that have been happening.
In Puerto Rico. What about them?
And PR, man. PR is, let me tell you something, some of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my life came straight from that island. So, I mean, yeah. And right now, I believe it was actually Red Cross was offering ham radio operators $50 a day plus all accommodations to come out to PR and do your ham stuff because that's all they have right now.
What a great opportunity.
So, well, if you're a ham guy, this is what you live for. Yeah. This is like the guy with the Deadpool outfit suddenly contracting a disease that causes all of his limbs to grow back. It's just, you know, it was meant to be. So after you're done supporting all those things, and after you support your own local charities, and after you support your family and friends, if you would like to support a project called Internet in a Box, which is trying to bring ubiquitous information to areas without ubiquitous internet access, by giving them hardware devices with basically an enormous section of Wikipedia downloaded onto it automatically, let me know. I'll get you in contact with the guy. They're also working with organizations like Doctors Without Borders, which there's a lot of politically motivated organizations out there. There's a lot of organizations out there with a lot of biased intentions, is what I'm going to say. Doctors Without Borders seems to be one of those organizations that really want to do nothing more than help people, heal people, cure people, and get people better. There's a huge amount of people out there every day dying because of things that are easily treatable with even the most minimal medical type care. So if you want to help these kind of organizations, let me know and I'll give you the contact information. But this app is called...
I think we stopped bombing their hospital, so it's cool.
Okay. This is called Quix, I believe, Wikipedia Offline. If you find yourself in very bad network service areas, what you can do is you can basically download this app, and it will put a large block of information on your phone for offline viewing. Again, it's called, I believe, Quix, Wikipedia Offline, K-I-W-I-X, by the Quix team, book and reference category, E for everyone, completely free to download, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 9,446 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, updated February 27, 2017, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, current version 2.2. The only stat I do not see here is the average file size, which I believe on mobile, when you look at the app, it does tell you approximately how big the download is. I because it's mostly text, I wouldn't expect it to be more than like 40 or 50 megs.
Is a Quix. And is that a kiwi bird in the icon? So that is.
I don't know. How do I look like a zoologist?
So it does say that it's a lightweight piece of software reading bigger file store on your SD card. So, you know, if you've got a phone with an external SD card, maybe it'd be great. You can have the whole Wikipedia just in there. I could see being really good for students who a lot of times they'll have like cell phone blockers or the makeup of their schools being a Morton building made out of all metal. They can't get any kind of connectivity anyway. So then they just, you know, this could help them quickly research when they have no way to get to the internet.
Well, yeah, and I'll say they do have desktop versions for Windows, Mac, and Linux, and they also allow downloading and supporting of exterior content, like even TED Talks. So this is more of a universal platform. And I will say, to have it on Windows, Mac, and Linux is the kind of thing perfect for classroom use or like the internet in the box use. So now it's starting to make a lot more sense.
Yeah. Just think, if you could hand your phone with this on it to somebody who's never really touched a phone, tell them how to turn it on and get to this app, as long as they know how to read English. I guess that's kind of far-fetched, but there would be just so much. Basically, go back to us 15 years ago when we didn't have any of this connectivity and instant knowledge at the touch of our fingertips. To have an entire encyclopedia, maybe 25 years, entire encyclopedia of way more than any encyclopedia set our parents got from the Eagles store at the touch of our fingers right there without any connectivity and costing nothing. I would have just flipped out.
So what you're saying is, in Back to the Future 2, when Biff stole the sports almanac to take back in time, he really should have taken an Android phone loaded with Quix.
Well, Back to the Future, what time period was Back to the Future 2?
Future, like, well, was that actually now the past, I believe, it was 2015.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Quix, I don't know. 100 to 500,000 installs? I don't think it was here 2 years ago. So that's why it didn't happen, Dor.
Okay, so Back to the Future 4.
Four.
New plot. Done.
Yep. And Ardini's Army in the chat room says that Internet in a Box incorporates Quix into it.
There you
and
go.
You can get Wikipedia in any language. So
any language?
Well,
any language, that's a bit bold statement there.
Hey, you know whose army it is, so that's all you can say.
I know.
All right, I've got an app for you, Dor. Maybe now. You know what, Dor?
I'm afraid.
I'm giving no love tonight.
Dude, I am genuinely afraid.
I'm giving no love because I don't think any of my apps are for you. Man, I just gave the total wrong link.
Yeah, that's a little bit
off. Sorry about that. I'll try and mess you up later when you try to do something with it.
Well, that's okay because the crappy 10 out of 10 app you gave me, actually, as soon as I linked it, it wanted me to buy it.
Of course.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Everybody wants to. All right, so this is the dot-to-dot connect the dots app. So we had adult coloring books, and now we have an adult dot-to-dot game. And so basically, you know, it kind of ties in with, like, your recent forays into 3D modeling and things like that. So basically, it's a line drawing broken down, and every point where it would stop and start again is then numbered. And you have to trace it out.
Mm. I just had like a mental flash. I can picture Sean Johnson downloading this app, getting like a dot picture of like the Statue of Liberty, like all the dots to draw that. But then him making it a goal, just trying to figure out how he can connect the dots in different way to make dirty pictures.
So, you really can't do that. You can't go out on your own too much, and you got to follow the numbers. And it's difficult because there's like 300 dots.
Yeah.
And I thought, I went into the vehicle section. I thought for sure I was drawing out a Volkswagen, you know, because you can kind of see what you're doing, sort of. You know what I mean? When you see all the numbers in certain areas, it looks like something already. So I just thought it was a Volkswagen and turned out to be a semi-truck. Oh. And it gives you like 4 hints. So, because sometimes when you got 300 numbers, it is actually hard to pan and zoom around on your phone to find the next number. Sometimes it's a really long line that goes all the way across the other side of your screen. And I was able to finish it, though. I could have shared it, but Google Plus was not one of the things I could share it on, so I didn't share it. But I don't know. If your mom or aunt likes the adult coloring books or likes crosswords and dot-to-dots, maybe, you know, with their new tablet they got, they could install this and check it out. It's free.
Very cool. Well, and the only like thing I'll say is I cannot for the life of me picture this being a fun exercise on a small device. The bigger, I think there's a direct correlation between size of the device and amount of enjoyment you would have with this app.
Yeah, luckily you can pan and zoom just like any other picture to help you out. That's kind of nice. I did it on a Note 4. Wasn't too bad.
Very cool. Yeah, and this was posted in our Google Plus this past week. And I will say at least I think 2 apps this week have been pulled out of our Google Plus community.
Yeah, that,
you just go there, look for Android App Addicts.
The magnet one was the Metal Detector Pro. That was in our Google Plus too that alerted me to that being free.
Gotcha. Yeah, this was brought by Ivor Davis.
Oh, yes.
A little bit.
Ivor's always hooking us up.
Yeah, there was actually something else I wanted to bring, Eric. Let me see. Okay, yeah. This is an app by the community, by Julian. For some reason this week, a couple apps that I pinged did not make it to my list, and I do not know why. This app is actually, I won't say this, pretty popular. It's been out for at least a little bit. It's called Tiles. It used to be called Quick Settings Tiles, but now it's just called Tiles. A personalization app by Rascarlo. E for Everyone.
This one appears to be normally 99 cents and it's free right now.
Yes, thank you. That's why he posted it. Normally $1, right now free. No in-app purchases, no ads. 1,129 reviews, 4.7 average reviews, September 28, 2017. Installs between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, version 2.0.1. Okay. The gimmick with this app is it looks like you have to be at least on Android 7.0. And what this allows is on what looks like non-rooted device, an extreme modification to your quick setting tiles in your upper notification shade, to where you can literally add what looks like, if not 100, pretty close to 100 different types of tiles.
Yeah, it's everything will now be, that's your new app drawer.
Yeah. I mean, quite literally everything from activities, a wake when plugged in, all the way down to web search, weather, VPN volumes, and voice.
Is caffeine a media player?
Caffeine was a medium
player. Caffeine is one of the things that can be in there. I'm not sure what that would be in a quick lunch.
I'm not sure. And there are some of these which do require either an ADB setup to be enabled via plugging your phone up to a computer and running a command or root. And then some of these you have to have root to do. So it isn't, I'm going to say perfect, but a huge percentage. It looks like easy 80%+ of these you do not need root or the command to get anything to work. So this is like one of them literally crazy powerful apps that if you buy might end up being the first thing you install on every device moving forward.
I like it. I've already installed it. Now I couldn't, like you said, it has to be a fairly newer device because I could not install it on my Note 4, but I could install it on my 5X.
Right. And there is a link in the description where if you want to use the device without root and you need to run the ADB command, there is a link to the URL right in the notes to where you can go and look at the commands, basically copy paste them into your computer, and you should be good. On Windows, Mac, and Linux, I believe now you do not need to download the entire Android software development kit. I do believe there are things like Quick ADP, and there is just a Quick Android Debug Bridge, ADB, applications you can download, which are like, you know, 5 megs, where the whole SDK is like 200+ megs and takes a while to download. So you don't need to download all that anymore. It's now much quicker. And there are some Linux distros where you literally just sudo apt-get install ADB type of thing, where it's right built into your package manager. So good stuff.
I'll tell you what, man. Street View just seems like the craziest thing to have in a quick launch, in your quick launch tiles.
Well, as soon as you hit it, it brings up Street View of where you're at right now. So you can say to somebody, I don't understand. The store was right here. It was literally right here. No, don't believe me. Look at this. Swipe down, hit tile, hit it, turn your phone to and say, see? So it's making that kind of thing easier to access, I'll say. And if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you because I just made that up.
Thanks, Dar.
No problem. And a big shout out to everyone in the Android App Addict Google Plus community. Everyone supporting us on Patreon. Everyone sending me tweets, including Josh, Kevin McLaughlin. Big shout out, gotta say, to Kevin McLaughlin. There's only been 2 people in my history that I know of that ever had Podnuts Twitter account set to retweet. Which means every time Podnuts tweets something, he automatically sends it out again. Podnuts does everything in its power to not send pictures of bacon or my kid jumping up and down through that account. The Podnuts account is a strictly business account for the network itself, and it's really nothing more than to announce when a show's going live, announce when a show gets published, and nothing more. So that's an easy way for everyone to support us out there. Follow the lead of Kevin McLaughlin. He's not only one of the people who keep this country together by riding rigs around and delivering what everyone needs to everybody else, but he's also a tremendous supporter of this and a very great many podcasts. So thank you very much, Kevin.
I can't wait to sit down with him someday and have lunch.
Just be prepared, because from the pictures of the food that I've seen him post, he knows where all the good food is.
Yeah, true. All right. Well, I think that will round out the show for tonight. Anything else you want to say, Dor, before we end it off?
I want to thank again Xavier from Podcast Addict for his support. He's the kind of guy that does not have to support us. And I asked everybody last week, okay, this week, don't go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. Instead, go to patreon.com/PodcastAddict. And I was watching his account. I didn't see what I considered to be enough new Patreons. So I'm asking again this week, go to patreon.com/podcastaddict. Support those who support you and support those who support people around you. He went out of his way to support us. The least I can do is ask everyone to go back out and show him just as much love.
Absolutely. I ever since we talked about it the other day, now I've been using the skip silence command on every appropriate podcast I listen to.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast today where they were basically trying to scold listeners and saying, you listening to podcasts like that, speeding it up and skipping silence, you are removing the art that we are putting into the podcast. Oh. To which I say, I'm going to quote Arthur Fonzarelli from Happy Days, and I'll say, sit on it. You obviously don't understand what the word art means, if that's what you think.
I can't vouch for 3.5 because I can't even listen to 2.5. But I'll tell you what, there's a podcast that I was unlistenable by me. I loved the subject matter, but I couldn't handle just spending that much time listening to them. But I bumped it up to 1.3 and took out the silence, and it's a perfect podcast now. Everything right. Just flows right. They sound normal. It's good. I'm not going to call them out or anything, but I like it.
There's more than a couple like that, because we even know in this country alone, and the example I'm going to use is not an insulting one, you head further south in this country or too far north and leave this country, people speak at such a pace that it almost is painful for people in the middle of the U.S. to listen to. And it's not an insult. It's just the way it is. So speeding up is good. And I'll say my most recent Podcast Addict stats says, today, listen to 19 hours worth of podcast. Yesterday, listen to 14 hours of podcast. So I'm going to, again, thank him for not charging me by the minute that I use his application.
Yeah, and you've produced and created and uploaded podcasts during those hours, too, and slept, and worked, and a full 8 hours.
And I'm going to tell you, the work I did this week was not easy. It was semi-complicated DTSX, Microsoft SQL Server, package creation, tweaking multiple types of inputs to multiple types of outputs, and setting up SQL jobs, doing things that some people say SQL jobs should not, could not, will not be able to do. I hate SQL.
I don't even know what you just said.
Just imagine something stupid and you having to make it smart.
Okay.
That's all you got to know. Welcome to the world of Microsoft. Worse, I had a baby while having a kidney stone while going into anaphylactic shock. It's Microsoft. Yeah. That's how I feel when I use Microsoft.
I'm with you, man. It something about a Microsoft product bugs me at least once a week. It used to be every day, so I'm getting better. And I have everything runs Linux in my house now. So, all right, well, we'll leave our Microsoft rants for the next podcast, and we will see you next week. Thanks to everybody for hanging out in the chat room and keeping us on the straight and narrow and helping us pronounce things. Josh, have a good night.
Hey, friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show, big talk, little machines.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.